This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Sheldon, Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come back again to Thee, to look to Thee for mercy and for grace, for the unction of the Holy Spirit to declare Thy Word in this waiting radio audience. And our Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt take Thy Word home in power and much assurance, and our hearts will be laid bare at Thy feet. We will look to Thee, the author and the finisher of our faith, and find our all in Thee. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
Oh,
My friend, do you look forward to that day? The day of coronation? We shall forever be with the Lord. We learn to bow to Him now, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who with the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, the despise and the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. He's Lord. He's King. And I praise Him. We can crown Him now and look to Him to rule over us, to lead us, and to guide us. We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Dear friend, if you'd like a part in this ministry, this radio ministry of the Word of Truth, preaching the Word of God as it is to men as they are, then write us and tell us that you're praying for us and standing with us in these hours, praying that God will send revival, send awakening in our midst. That's what's needed more than anything else, is the work of God's Spirit working in our hearts and in our lives, turning us back to God in a way of repentance and faith. Our book for this month is entitled Complete in Christ by C.H. Spurgeon. Also included in there is a message on love's logic. One complete in Christ brings before us exactly what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And love's logic speaks to us of spiritual growth. These two devotional classics, one on eternal security and one on spiritual growth, complete in Christ and love's logic. This little book is yours, free and postpaid, if you will write us. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. We desire to continue the series of messages that we have been bringing for some time now on the subject, the Word of God and sin, or what the Scriptures teach concerning this awful law or principle called sin, which is rebellion against the holy and righteous God of the universe. Our past messages in this series have been centered around the effect of sin upon the human race and the need of a Savior in lieu of the awful ruined condition that sin has left mankind in. It has been upon my heart for weeks now that I should, in this present series of the Word of God in sin, pinpoint certain sins that seemingly more than others are damning souls to hell. I believe it wise at this time to put our finger upon those sins that keep men from Christ. Those sins that are mostly heart sin, but are indeed manifested in the outward life. Now, I know that these messages on sin are not popular, but they're needful. They're needful if indeed we ever expect to get to Christ. For every man must face the knowledge of sin. He must confess it. He must forsake it. And he must repent of it if ever he will flee to Christ by faith for salvation. So we want to go into our subject today. We want you to listen, praying that the Holy Spirit will take His precious word home to each one of our hearts. And we will be able to say when we have finished, it was good to have been here today because God searched out our hearts. And I praise God for it. As I search the Word of God, I find that the sin of pride is one sin that seemingly God hates more than any other. Truly, He hates all sin and will punish all sin, for God cannot condone anything contrary to His holy nature. But His hatred seems to go out more forcibly against this sin of pride, for it robs Him of His glory and tries to take Him off His throne, as it were, by His rebellious, sinful creatures. The fact that pride is universal is an undeniable fact. Haughtiness, arrogance, conceit, inordinate self-esteem, vanity and vainglory are as common as the air we breathe. And you and I know this, for it's around us everywhere. We fight against it all the time. I must cry out all the time against this one sin, praising God that He's able to hold it in check and break its power and deliver by His almighty grace and by His precious blood. You see, ours is a proud, defiant age. Internationally, nationally, socially, and personally, the sin of pride is responsible for so much of the confusion, heartache, sorrow, and tragedy that is in the world today. Yes, pride, in its various guises, is an evidence that we are living in the last days, as we are told in 2 Timothy 3, that men shall be lovers of their own selves, boasters, proud, heady, and high-minded. So I believe this is a timely message, a timely warning, warning men of the sin of pride, that God hates it, and He's going to punish it, and put those who do not confess it out of His sight forever. Are you listening? Pride, my dear friend, heads the list of the seven deadly sins held to be fatal to spiritual progress. They are pride, covetousness, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, and slothfulness. Yes? Pride heads them all because they are fatal to spiritual progress. The Scriptures give pride the place of preeminence in these verses found in Proverbs 6:19. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to run into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. You see then that God's word plainly declares that He hates pride, for it is an abomination to Him, as we read in Proverbs 16:5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. And my dear friend, that word abomination means that God loathes it. He abhors it. He is disgusted with everyone who is proud in heart. Proverbs 18:8-13 tells us these words, "Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate, saith the Lord." And to show you that God's anger burns against this sin of pride, we find it included in the sins given in Revelation 21:8, eight classes of men who will be cast into hell forever and ever. And this word pride and the pride man comes under the word abominable. Listen to God's word and hear the doom of every proud man who dies outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 21:8 says, "The fearful and unbelieving and abominable, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." These eight categories will be there, and the proud man will be there. Yes, pride is a sin, a wicked sin, for we read in Proverbs 21:4, "A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin." You see, pride merits no divine response. Yea, God revolts from it. Or read in Psalms 138:6, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off." Again, we read in James 4:6, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Therefore, we read in God's word that pride goeth with destruction. Yes, they go together, according to Job 26:12. "By His understanding, God smiteth through the proud." And again in Proverbs 15:25, "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud." Also in Proverbs 16:18, we read, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Oh, how we need to hear God's word, that He hates the proud in heart, that if he turn not in repentance, God will wet His sword and cast the proud man into hell. Did you know that God tells us in Proverbs 13:10 that pride is the source of contentment, of contention among men? Listen what Proverbs 13:10 tells us. "Only by pride cometh contention." So if you see contention in the home between man and wife, or husband and wife, the man and the woman, it's pride that brings either him or her. It's pride in children that make them rise up against their parents. They know better. And yet they know nothing. Pride, only by pride cometh contention. That's why there's so much contention in our churches today. Pride's there. Every man wants to have his own say. Nobody wants to take the blame. Man doesn't want to give up his way. And so contention comes. And pride is the cause of it. Again, we read in Proverbs 28:25 that he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. He that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Just want to lay the foundation with a series of messages on the sin of pride. It's everywhere spoken against in the Word of God. Oh, my friend, listen to me today. Do you understand God's Word? He hates the proud in heart. They are an abomination to Him. And as Obadiah 3:4 tells us, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwelleth in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? You see, that's man's question in his pride. Who shall bring me down to the ground? But listen to God's answer in verse 4 to this proud man. God said, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Yes? Every one of you under the sound of my voice today shall be brought down. For we read in Isaiah 2:11-12, these words from the lips of our great God. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. I told you when I first opened this message that the Scriptures abounded in reference to this sin of pride, which God hates. Oh, that he would give us, everyone, a hatred for sin like he has. My friend, that's my daily cry. Oh, Lord God, give me more of a hatred for sin, more of a love for holiness, more of a spirit of humility, more of a spirit of the brokenness of heart, of waiting before thee, that I will walk with thee in obedience to thy precious will. This is my cry. But let's go further. The Scriptures describe a proud, haughty, conceited, vainglorious, boastful man as being a child of the devil, a child of Satan. Pastor, why? Why does God picture a proud and a haughty and a conceited and a vainglorious and a boastful man as a child of the devil, a child of Satan? My friend, it was because when Satan was in heaven, as the highest created being of God in the universe, when he was known as Lucifer, the head of all of the angels, the Word of God tells us in Ezekiel 28 that his heart was lifted up in pride, and he fell to become Satan the deceiver. Yes, Satan's heart was lifted up with pride, and ever since that moment of haughtiness, he has sought to blight angels and men with the same form of iniquity, according to 1 Timothy 3:6. Pride then was the fruit of sin. Pride was the first sin to destroy the calm of eternity and shatter the heart of God in the realm of eternal harmony. Satan began to be occupied with his own splendor and beauty, according to Ezekiel 28, and his lofty thoughts led to his expulsion from heaven. Let us look at Isaiah's account of his fall because of pride, as it is given in Isaiah 14. Listen as we hear Satan speaking. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. We see then that although Satan was an angelic being of the highest rank, he suffered from eye trouble. You see, the middle letter of pride is I, just as I is the middle letter of sin. Therefore, self is at the heart of all sin. I. Yes, all sin centers around I. My way. I must have what my heart desires. I. This is what happened to the man in Luke 18, the Pharisee that was praying. He was taken up with I. My dear friend, have you begun to see from God's word that when you put I on the throne, you are taking the place that belongs to God and being lifted up in pride, you shall fall? Yes, you shall fall, as did our first parents, for they, like Satan, were lifted up with pride in thinking that they would be like gods if they ate of the forbidden fruit. Therefore, when they disregarded God's command, they fell in their pride because they vaunted God's authority and proudly asserted self-will. You see, self-will and free will has only got man in trouble. The same is true today. The unregenerate nature of man remains the source of pride, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed pride, according to Mark 7. That's what's the matter with our nation today, every individual in it, every one of us. Pride has deceived our hearts. And I ask you, friend, proud of what? Who has made any of us to differ from another? What have we received that has not been given to us from God above? Do we have wealth? The scripture says that God gave us power to make wealth. Do we have wisdom? Don't you know that the word of God says that all true wisdom comes from God? Do we have health? Don't we understand that all of our times are in His hands, and He gives us what He pleases? Do we have a gift above somebody else? The scripture says the Holy Spirit gives to every man a gift as he pleases. Do we have power? My friend, don't you know that power comes from God, and He gives it to whom He pleases? He sets up one and brings down another according to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Do we have a good position in this life? My friend, don't you know that the Word of God says that promotion comes not from the east or the west, but from God? So what do we have to be proud of? All that we have has come from God Himself. That's right. All that we have. Why weren't you born an imbecile? Why do you have the capacity, the administrative capacity to handle a corporation or men or women or to rule over others? Why do you have this ability or that ability? God gave it to you. You didn't give it to yourself. Well, I worked for it. I studied it. But God gave you the mental capacity to have it. Why does one man have an IQ of 25 and another man have an IQ of 150? Sovereign God gave it to you. See, you have nothing to be proud of. But my dear friend, pride comes in so many dresses. One prides himself on his humbleness. And isn't that something to be proud of, you're humble? Another prides himself on his learning. Another prides himself on his ability to do things others cannot do. Another prides himself on the fact that he is not like other men, and yet he commits the same sins the other man does. Another prides himself on the fact that he is not a drunkard, but yet he gambles. Another prides himself on the fact that he's not a wife beater, but yet he is a tyrant in his home. Another prides himself that he would not steal, and yet he robs his soul of heaven by staying away from Christ. Another prides himself on his ability to invent and to make things while he cannot control his own passions. Another prides himself on having the truth and knowing the truth of God's word, and yet he will not share it with any other. Another prides himself on the fact that he is not like other men are. He looks down with disdain upon the weak and the sick and the poor and the needy, and gives them no helping hand. And he says, let them get it where I got mine. I worked for it. What I have, I got. Do you think I'm going to share it with others? Oh, no. Pride is at the root and the bottom of all of this. On and on the list could go of the sin of pride. It is in the wolf and wolf of every man. Therefore, it is a sin to confess. It is a sin to hate. It is a sin to flee from. It is a sin to mourn over. It is a sin to fight against. Yea, it is a sin to bring to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness. For it is a sin that needs to be washed in the blood of Christ. But my dear friend, while pride is among the sins God hates, yet He has made it possible for us to be delivered from its penalty and power. And my friend, if we die in the sin of pride, with it not forgiven, with it not confessed, hell is our doom. But oh, praise God, He is able to save us from all our fancied greatness and haughtiness, and grace our hearts with a sweet humility ever pleasing to Him. Ever pleasing to Him who delights to dwell in humble and contrite hearts. We read in Isaiah 57:15, For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Therefore, in virtue of the cross, God can hide pride from man. His blessings can abide upon the humble and the broken heart. So may I cry unto you today, my friend, down at the feet of Christ in repentance, down at his feet crying for a new heart and a new nature, down at his feet crying for mercy on the basis of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save poor sinners like you from their proud and sinful self. Won't you bow at his feet today, my dear friend? Won't you ask him to break your proud heart and to give you a new heart to follow him in love? Oh, may I hear you say, yes, Pastor. Today I will seek the face of God in repentance. Today I will plead for mercy in Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. My friend, you need a course in self-awareness. Not of what you think you are, but of the way God sees you in your pride. Oh, that your proud heart would be broken down at his feet, that you might be aware that you stand before him naked in your pride, and you need to be cleansed and forgiven and delivered by the power of Almighty God. My dear friend, you've listened. I pray that God will send this message home to each and every heart. We're happy that you've been with us. If you want a copy of this message in the book we're giving away this month entitled Complete in Christ, then you write us. We'll be happy to mail it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.